Hello, and welcome to Real Talk. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, here with you every Tuesday at lunchtime and at your convenience at voiceofvashon.org. Real Talk is the show that explores issues large and small. You're listening on voiceofvashon.org and at 101.9 FM, and today it's all about money. I'm calling these pandemic payoffs, to be specific. And with me on the phone to help us explore the rules, rights, and unintended consequences of the federal stimulus package and the state's unemployment options is Deborah Diamond, Island tax expert and head of the EOC Unemployment Support Branch. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you.
It's a delight to have you here with us. And I know there are lots of folks out there, including myself, who have all kinds of questions about how this is going to work. How can we sustain ourselves financially through the pandemic when so many people have been laid off from their jobs or just aren't getting any work? There are folks who are looking for jobs, and some who are contractors. And I think different things apply to different people. So I'd like to start with the federal stimulus package because that's a little simpler than the unemployment situation. Who gets that $1,200 and how do we qualify, and who does not, if there's anyone who doesn't qualify?
Well, most people will qualify, and the IRS has already sent out 130 million direct deposits to people who had that information on file. For people who did not file a 2018 or 2019 return, there is a special online application where they can basically report that they didn't have much income, but here's the information they need in order to get the stimulus payment. The people who get Social Security and disability, SSI, are starting to receive payments this week, and that money is being directly deposited to the same account where the person's SSA and SSI is being deposited. And then I just read just this morning that they have figured out that they can send out debit cards to people, and it's faster than printing the checks. They were thinking that it would take about 2 to 3 months to send out checks to everybody, and they've now figured out that they can send out debit cards much more quickly. So some people will be receiving their stimulus payment in the form of a debit card, which can be transferred to a bank account or used at an ATM or used to pay bills, however one needs to use it.
So it kind of becomes a separate account for those individuals? Is that the way it happens?
Well, debit card is preloaded with money. And you can either cash the whole thing or you can transfer the whole thing to a bank account, or you can use it as you buy groceries each week and the balance is, you know, reduced until it's zero. But most adults will be receiving $1,200 each. So a married couple would receive $2,400 unless their income exceeds a set amount. So it's about $100,000 for single people and about $200,000 for married people.
Oh, so those people with incomes over that amount will not receive the $1,200 stimulus check?
That is correct.
Huh. I didn't know that. So that's one of the things that disqualifies people. Did I hear you say that not having filed a 2019 tax return would also disqualify a person?
No, it doesn't disqualify you, but the IRS would not have been able to mail you or to give you a direct deposit unless you had filed a 2019 or a 2018 return that included your direct deposit information. Mm. Now, a lot of people use the Get My Payment application on the IRS website to upload their direct deposit information, and people who did that have already received their direct deposits. You can't do that anymore. That application is now shut down because they're mailing paper checks or debit cards to the people who remain. So the other piece of that is, for each child under the age of 17, there's a $500 stimulus payment that's added.
Oh, that's great. Is that new?
Nope, that's been in effect all along. So, for example, a family of three with three children might receive $2,400 for the two adults, $1,500 for the three children, and you'd be looking at a $3,900 stimulus payment.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Now, is that based on the federal assumption that the COVID-19 pandemic will be over in a couple of months?
No, that doesn't really relate. This is the initial stab at giving people money to spend to keep the economy going at some level, and there's talk in Congress of a second stimulus payment or some other means of getting money out there into the economy. But for right now, there are no medical assumptions behind it. It's a stimulus payment just like the stimulus payment we received in 2008 and one in early 2009 to get money back into the economy.
Do you know whether any of this is tied to considerations like mortgage forbearance for landlords so that they might be able to pass it on to tenants as a form of not necessarily straight up cash, but help?
Well, a lot of people certainly were using their stimulus payments in order to make their mortgage payments, mm-hmm. in order to make their rent payment for the month, in particular of April or even into May. But mortgage forbearance and forbearance by the goodness of the heart of your landlord is totally separate. Now, at this point, the King County and the state have guidelines that prevent anybody from being evicted up until June 4th at this point, and that's likely to be extended as well.
So that can serve to stimulate the economy as well, if indeed people can skip their rent for a while without losing their homes. They will have that cash for other important expenses like food and medicine.
Right. So in terms of skipping, it's called forbearance, mm-hmm. and it's still due at the end of the period. A lot of the mortgage companies are allowing people a 3-month deferment, forbearance, and people will owe that amount at the end of the 3 months, but when we start talking about unemployment, people are going to be getting 3 months' worth of unemployment, which will enable them to pay the 3 months of the mortgage payment as well. With a landlord, it's a little different. It's really at their, again, the goodness of their heart. If they reduce your rent by 20% or if they say they'll wait until you get your unemployment check, but certainly it allows people to have that money to spend on the essentials of food and medicine.
Daily life, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, if my mortgage was forgiven for 3 months, then at the end of 3 months, I have to pay a double mortgage?
No. Well, it's forbearance. So you're going to pay the 3 months plus whatever your new month is. It's just deferring it for 3 weeks to give you a little breathing space. Now, in some states, they've required any mortgage company that does business in that state to extend it for 6 months or 9 months or a year. Governor Inslee has not done that yet.
And is it then up to the mortgage company's discretion? Because I believe some of them are moving those forborne, if you will, mortgages to the end of the mortgage so that you pay it off when you pay off your mortgage and or you
yes.
sell the property.
Yes, they have the option of doing any number of those things.
Which would save people from having to come up with more cash after the end of the 3 months.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because I could see that being as much a burden as having to pay it when you're not getting paid.
Right. Before we get off of stimulus, I want to point out that it's not taxable. It's a tax credit. So when you file your 2020 return in 2021, if you were paid more of a stimulus payment than you should have been, for example, if they didn't factor in that your child turned 17 during the year and you really weren't supposed to get the $500, you're not going to have to pay it back. They're not going to do what they call a claw back. So they're not going to, if you were overpaid. However, if you didn't get the full stimulus payment you should have gotten, you will be able to get that as a tax credit when you file your 2020 return.
It sounds very generous, in my view, although I'm hearing lots of folks saying that we need to be providing monthly payments to everybody until the pandemic is completely gone, until we have a vaccine. Like Bernie Sanders is saying, $2,000 a month for everybody. Does that sound possible to you?
Well, it's certainly one of the options. There are other countries such as Canada and Denmark who basically just took over the payrolls of all the employers in the company, in the country, and are paying 75% of people's wages instead of having anybody have to apply for unemployment. They just took over the payrolls. Now, in the United States, that is probably something that would meet with a lot of resistance.
Yeah, that would probably be an understatement.
It is the irony of it being a Republican administration that is basically providing people with a basic income through the unemployment system, which we'll discuss in a minute. There is some irony there that is not to be missed.
Indeed, there is. Well, let's go to the unemployment situation. Unemployment, as opposed to federal stimulus, is a state program. Tell us about Washington State's unemployment program right now.
Well, actually, Susan, unemployment is a federal system, and the states administer a piece of it. So employers pay a certain amount to the state, say somewhere, it varies by state, but between 4 and 5% of payroll. And they pay a much smaller amount, less than 1%, to the federal government. And it's the Department of Labor that sets the rules for how the state unemployment benefits operate broadly. And then the states come up with, they're allowed to come up with their own regulations in terms of what's the minimum amount, what's the maximum amount, and how they administer it. For example, in Washington State, there's no prohibition against someone who's in high school who has substantial wages filing for unemployment. In Minnesota, you can't file for unemployment if you haven't graduated from high school yet. So they can set individual rules at the state level. But Washington unemployment is, actually, I know people are really frustrated with how long it's taking to get benefits, but I'm just reading today about some states on the East Coast that are just now, a month later, offering people who are self-employed the opportunity to apply for the pandemic unemployment assistance. So Washington State was one of the very first programs to come online, and you've probably been reading about this. That's why one of Washington State's is one of the first systems to be attacked by fraudulent claims from identity thieves.
Let's unpack that just a little bit. When you say the pandemic unemployment assistance applies to contractors?
Yeah, so let me break this down. So historically, wage earners have unemployment paid in by their employers on their behalf. And then when there's a gap in their employment, they can apply for unemployment benefits. Self-employed people have never been required to pay in to the unemployment system. They pay their own self-employment taxes, and they don't pay into the system. What happened with the CARES Act is they expanded the benefits to this whole universe of people who have never paid into unemployment. And all of a sudden, it's called Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, PUA. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they had to quickly adapt their system to cover this whole group of people that had never been covered before. So a lot of the questions that they ask and the forms that they're requiring and the reports and so forth, they really don't fit really well with the self-employed, which is why I've been assisting people and giving them tips about how to answer those questions in the context of self-employment.
So if self-employed people have not been paying into the program, where does the money to give them unemployment support come from?
Well, it's coming from state coffers and it's coming from federal coffers. So the way that a self-employed person applies is they are first required to apply for regular unemployment insurance and get turned down. So you have to go through the whole application get turned down because you never paid into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to file the pandemic unemployment assistance application that allows for the expanded benefit. The whole point of that, which may on the surface just seem like government trying to, you know, make things complicated, is if the person qualifies for regular unemployment, it's going to be at the state's expense. But if they qualify for pandemic assistance, the federal government is going to reimburse the state for that amount.
So
the money is coming from the printing presses that make the money.
The one I have in my basement, is that?
Well, no, no, the one.
Not that
no.
one.
The federal government is coming up with the money, and the states are suffering hugely from this sudden impact. You know, they were already having issues, and this sudden impact is huge.
So,
but the federal government is adding $600 a week to the unemployment benefits that the state is providing.
Uh-huh. And I'm sure that the state is not getting reimbursed immediately.
I don't know about the timing on that, but it should all, you know, it should be balanced over time that the money would come to the states to reimburse.
So
I'll point out that there's about 1,200 people on Vashon who have applied for unemployment.
I'm not surprised. There's a lot of independent contractors on Vashon Island.
Exactly. So that's about somewhere between 20 and 25% of the workforce, people who are actively in the workforce on Vashon. And that's 1,200 people. I'd have to make a guess. They still don't have the data broken down, but I'm thinking that about that maybe 60% of the people are regular unemployment and the other 40% of the people are related to self-employed people.
So let me ask some questions about the application process. My understanding is that for traditional unemployment, a person has to document that they are seeking a new job or several, up to three new jobs every week. They have to file weekly about their job search. What sort of documentation does a regular unemployment person have to provide in order to apply in the beginning?
Well, so right now, you can check no when it asks, have you made at least three contacts in looking for work? During the COVID crisis and until the governor's order expires, there is no requirement for anyone, either self-employed or an employee, to look for work.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah. And at such time as looking for work will be required, there's an online log that you can keep where you keep track of who you contacted either by email or by phone or in person in terms of searching for jobs.
And when you say online, that is at the state's unemployment website?
Yes.
What is that?
Yes.
Is that ESD.org or .gov?
ESD.wa.gov.
ESD.wa.gov. That's where you apply for unemployment,
right,
whether you are seeking a job or a regular employed person or you are an independent contractor. So
there are actually two parts to unemployment. Well, there's actually three parts. There's the employer part where they pay the tax, mm-hmm. and then there's unemployment insurance, which is what we've been talking about, the unemployment benefits. But then there's a third division of the Employment Security Department called WorkSource, and they're the ones who help people get back to work. They're the resource that people will end up using to get job announcements that match their criteria sent their way, where they can consult about, what criteria for what kinds of jobs, various resources for helping them with their skills and so forth. But in addition to that, we have a local expert who has volunteered to provide that kind of individual employee development. Career development, employment development. And if you go to the Vashon Chamber of Commerce Ask an Expert page, you'll see her listed. Her name is Tarina O'Rourke, another Vashon person who is volunteering with Vashon Be Prepared. and she is offering up to 6 hours with individuals to assess what their passion is for a job, what kind of job they might want to look at as opposed to the one that has disappeared, looking at financial needs and negotiating skills, rebuilding someone's resume, assisting them with interviewing skills, and then providing them resources of places that they might gainfully look for employment.
That's a pretty thorough service. So that is at the Vashon Chamber of Commerce website?
Ask an Expert page. Yep, and you can text Tarina and set up an appointment with her to start working with her. And you can, you know, just spend a half an hour with her on the phone, or you can end up having six-hour appointments, but she's available to assist.
So, gosh, this could be an opportunity for a whole new career.
And I think many people are seeing that they need to do that pivot, that they need to look at a new career, that the kind of career they were in may not be one that's going to survive this particular major change.
Do we have any idea what kinds of careers might survive the pandemic?
Well, certainly looking at the kinds of careers that where people are continuing, you'd want to be looking at a profession where you could telework.
Mm-hmm. That's clearly going to be big business.
Yep, and online and anything that has to do with being able to work remotely and video conference and computer skills, anything like that. I would think any mother is going to say to their child, "You need to get a job in one of these professions so that you are, going to be secure."
Yeah, it seems like anyone who is graduating from high school or college right now is going to have to be really, really adaptable and have a lot of guidance in what might be coming if anyone really knows what that is.
Yeah. And, the impact of this pandemic has been the greatest upon people who are the most, the lowest income jobs and, jobs that required the least amount of education and experience. And that's typically where younger people enter the workforce, and those opportunities may just, it's going to be different.
There'll be a lot fewer, presumably.
Yeah.
So let's get back to unemployment application. I was asking about the documentation required to apply for regular unemployment. How does that compare to the documentation required to apply for the pandemic unemployment assistance for self-employed people?
Well, for regular unemployment applications, when you go in and start your application, it'll pull up the employers who have paid unemployment insurance on your behalf. So your employers will pop right up, and you'll be able to, they're going to ask you, when did you start, when did you stop, why did you leave, etc. For self-employment, it's a little more difficult. What you're going to need to do is to upload a copy of a Schedule C if you're a sole proprietor, showing your net profit and loss from your trade or business. And then depending if you're an LLC or a sub S or some other form of business, a partnership, uploading your K-1. So basically uploading the tax document that shows what your net profit was, which is what they're going to use to calculate what is the amount of your unemployment insurance. Basically, the amount of the unemployment insurance per week for someone is, like, if you're making $25,000 a year, you're probably going to get a $250 a week benefit, and then plus the $600.
What is the $600?
The $600 is the federal, it's a federal boost is what I call it, but it's $600 a week, and it's added on to whatever the state benefit is, and at this point, it's set to expire on July 31st.
And is this just for self-employed people, or is it for everybody who's collecting unemployment?
Anyone who's entitled to at least $1 of state benefit is going to get the $600 payment.
That's incredible, actually.
Yes. And it's incredible enough that there are concerns that basically anyone who was making less than $40,000 a year in their job is now making more on unemployment than they did in their regular job. And that is making it very difficult for businesses that are reopening to hire people because they are making more on unemployment than they're able to offer in the way of wages.
That could increase the basic wage level for a lot of folks who need it. $40,000 these days is not a whole lot of money.
That it could increase it in an ideal world, but unfortunately, I think the way the math is going to work is there are going to be businesses that cannot afford to pay those wages and therefore cannot afford to stay in business.
Yeah, and that's the downside. Speaking of downsides, you mentioned that the state is taking action to combat potential unemployment fraud. What is that about?
Apparently, some very imaginative identity thieves have taken data that has been hacked in the past. There's no indication that ESD has been hacked at all. But they're using, from prior hacks, using people's Social Security numbers and dates of birth and addresses and so forth to file fraudulent claims. And the money, ESD is paying people the money and then checking later is what they've been doing. And they're estimating about $1.6 million has gone out in fraudulent claims. And therefore, they are delaying people's benefits this week by 1 to 2 days in order to run them through an additional set of checks to make sure that the recipients are the correct people. But if you hear from your employer, wait a minute, why did you file for unemployment? I know you're working at home. You may be the victim of identity theft.
Wow. It's complicated. And folks, we've been talking with Deborah Diamond, who is a tax expert and Vashon Island's current head of the EOC Unemployment Support Branch here on Real Talk. We have 1 minute left, Deborah. This time has flown. With that last minute, I want you to tell us, what is the most frequent question you get about unemployment and or the stimulus package?
When am I going to get my money?
Not how, just when.
Yeah, exactly. And, it's just some things fly straight through and other people get caught in a what they call adjudication, mm-hmm. Where they're looking further at documents or they need to wait for an employer to respond or whatever. But all the money is going to be paid retroactively to the very first date when your job situation changed, so back to March 13th. So people are very happily getting a check for $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, all of a sudden paying all those back weeks that had been in adjudication or had been waiting for documents to be returned.
Well, that could be a happy day, and it will probably stimulate the carryout restaurants on Vashon Island if it happens here.
Absolutely.
Or when it happens here. Deborah Diamond, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to join us here on Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, and I'm here with you every Tuesday, right around lunchtime, and available at your convenience at voiceofvashon.org. Stay tuned. You never know what you're going to get on The Voice of Vashon. Thanks for listening.